Coming to the Greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two here on a Monday morning on a rainy, soggy, gray, nasty-looking Monday morning. But that's okay. We haven't had many of these days, these kind of days this summer. So,
right. Dan was saying that park's been great. It's all worked. But this is only a couple days. We got the County Fair kicking off, and I was watching the Weather Channel, Fox 11, and it's going to be a great
weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Great. There's so much going on.
We're in good shape for this weekend.
And beautiful.
You got the county fair going on.
Yes, we're going to talk more about that. We've got a Veterans Day coming up at the county fair.
Final band concert this year.
Yeah.
And then he talked about Bay Beach is still strong this year, but then goes to weekends. But, yeah, you got to get outside and enjoy this because
I got to admit something. Yesterday was a little bit cooler. It was like 68.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah, you were down at the beach. I talked to you, right?
Yes.
Didn't you?
Well, that was Saturday.
Oh, Saturday?
I'll tell you what. You ever go to Neshoto Beach, Wayne?
Oh, man. That's the best.
Neshoto Beach. That would be your kind of place.
Really?
Why? That would have been your kind. Because you could have walked around the little muscle shirt.
Really?
Because that's all people do there is walk up and down the beach.
Muscle shirt.
Big Wayne back in the day? Yes, muscle shirt.
But that's not a Venice Beach. That's just a chill beach.
Better yet.
If Big Wayne was walking down that beach, all of a sudden it becomes a muscle beach.
Yeah, you know, I would get up. I'd be like all slow-mo, taking my shirt off.
Absolutely. You'd be playing volleyball with your blue jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Like
cut off up to my thigh. Yep.
Exactly.
Curled up.
Yes.
Okay.
The only problem, you know, the only problem with that beach? It's gotten so much smaller.
Well.
Over the years.
Right.
I mean, the lake went up, obviously. I bet they've lost 50 yards. No, maybe not that much. 30.
Not that much, yeah.
30 yards, I'll bet.
But that's an ebb and flow, right?
Doesn't it come back? There's nothing you do about it. But I mean, it used to be. That is one of the most. I mean, sitting there Saturday morning, if you took somebody from wherever and said you're in Malibu, they'd say, I believe it.
Right.
That is the most beautiful beach. Neshoto Beach and Two Rivers.
It is.
It's incredible.
And I grew up there, as you know. I can't believe that's still locked in at 13,000 people. It's a good little city, right? I mean,
well, it's kind of landlocked, though. You know what I mean? You can't really. Can you expand it? Two Rivers?
Well, what I'm saying is that they can handle a lot more than 13,000 people.
Is that what the enrollment or the enrollment? The population is 13,000?
Yes, and it was 13,000 in...
When you were there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised the area out by the high school isn't built up a lot more.
Right, there's
that's
a lot of
nice area out there.
That's a nice area, and
yes.
You're getting closer to the water, and you know, you have access to Green Bay. I mean...
Absolutely.
It's
awesome.
35, 40.
You know what scared me, though? This made me nervous. This girl was out there on a paddle board.
Yeah.
And she was like so far out, you literally almost couldn't see her anymore.
Yep.
That bothered me.
Yeah.
For some reason.
People, they swim in that beach.
Yeah.
And they go out there pretty
way
far.
Out.
I agree.
It's
pretty cool, though, when you see the, what's the name of that boat that goes from Manitowoc to Ludington?
The Badger.
The Badger.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's
when that
phenomenal.
Goes by.
Yeah.
I'm with you on, because I had lived out west for a while, and that beach looks like an ocean.
Absolutely.
It does.
Gorgeous.
Anyway, it's a great thing.
Well, I remember my son Dominic had this good friend, and she was from Morocco. She was going to St. Norbert.
Mom.
And he took her there. And she says, what sea is this?
Right.
And it's true. For somebody from other places, they think it's a sea.
And even that, between Manitowoc and Two Rivers, that trail they put in there.
Yes,
I mean, that's a
fantastic.
Beautiful trail to bike on.
I run it almost every day.
In his car. I want to be honest to our listeners here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's John's car going.
Hey, I saw it. I got it.
42 miles an hour.
I pulled a muscle on my back the other day.
Ooh.
You know how? Carrying my stationary bike into my basement.
I thought you were saying carrying your stationary bike out to the quarter.
Was it like the old Schwinn with the big 50-pound front flywheel and it has the big grandma seat on it?
Maybe.
You know, and it just sit there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it does.
That's what it is.
I've got to be careful with my work because I got an artificial hip. Can you still work out when you have an artificial hip?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You can bike. I don't think they want you playing basketball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the little lateral motion.
Yeah, but I think biking is still okay.
Well, something, yeah, something where you can, well, I'd imagine they still want to do some type of weight bearing activity to
right.
keep those, you know, bones strong.
I don't think I should do squats though, do you?
Sure. Why not?
Well, really?
Squats, why not?
I think that's what kept me from having longer legs. I did a
were you a big squatter?
Yes.
So like a front squat was, or back squat?
Back.
Wide stance or narrow stance?
I don't know that.
Well, you just said you were a big squatter.
I used to be, but I was like 12.
Okay.
Well, and I was doing squats.
Not even in high school? You didn't?
I did in high school, but I think that stunted the growth of my legs.
Weight belt or no weight belt?
No weight belt.
Knee wraps or no knee wraps?
No knee wraps. What do you think? Come on, Wayne.
Yeah, did they even know what those were?
We had one barbell under the bleachers in the gym. Really?
That's all Cribbits was doing.
Did you see those pictures from Nina High School? Did you see those?
I did
this
not.
Weekend?
What's that?
Their weight room?
Yeah,
their new high school $120 million.
Oh, yeah.
Their weight room is
that's incredible.
Unbelievable.
Well, we thought Bayport was big. Now it's like each high school just gets bigger.
It seemed like that
bigger.
Was almost the, okay, here's the barometer.
Yeah.
You know, can we top this?
Oh. Yeah, it's like, you know, they're up to like 45, 50 squat racks in these weight rooms now. It's ridiculous. And branded like high school is the new college. College is the new pro. And I don't even know what pro is anymore.
Well, I don't even think the pro thing is as good as these private things that these guys go to in the off season.
Yeah.
Like when they prepare, if they're coming out of college, they go to these places in Florida and LA and stuff like that. They say you want to tell, it's almost, I was reading one thing. It's imagine if every country for the Olympic team said, we're going to devote everything we have into making the greatest athletes in the world. I mean, every piece of equipment, every nutritional thing. It's like, it's literally like when they built, what's his name in Rocky IV? The big Russian.
Oh, yeah. Drago.
Drago. Was that four? Rocky
Drago.
Four?
I think so.
Yeah. I must break you.
Yeah.
It's like that, where they're literally creating. That was like this science fiction thing back then. That's no longer science fiction.
Oh, no.
That's what they're doing.
Well, because they're called sports performance centers.
That's what I couldn't think of the term.
Even in Green Bay, we've got some Synergy, great location. Aurora Sports Medicine, they do a great job. All kinds of, you know, the basketball warehouse.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many places.
The driveway,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in Green Bay, we've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, we do.
And you just got to keep that tethered to reality, though. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of... They really take care of you when you're at these places, the chef, the sleep.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, all and those I, things.
All
yeah.
I'm saying is that you've got to bring that back
right
to your environment, you know? I mean, that Packer thing is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And I'm sure you've been through there a lot.
But it's almost like one of those things where, you know, so many people go to a, can you use the term they used to call them, the fat farms, you
right.
know, type
or
thing?
Or that's these what people, I'm talking
and they
about.
Lose, you know, 75 pounds.
Right.
Because there were some Packer players I remember that were, I remember Paul Hornung, Willie Wood, some other guys, they did that.
There's some people in this town that have gone to those.
And then a year later,
right,
it's all back.
It is. And that's what I'm saying about those camps really get you where you need to be, but you know, you got to stay there. But these guys are playing for so much money, and I think there's a lot of incentive. Plus, the love of the game is just unbelievable.
You know what's so tragic, though? And I'm going to use the word tragic because, you know, even though the guy doesn't die or anything like that, the hopes, the dreams. I mean, the kid Davis, the tight end the other night, works his butt off all offseason. Comes to camp in unbelievable shape, just phenomenal, tremendous special teams player, catches one pass for 4 yards, and that dork for the Bengals comes up and puts his helmet right on his knee, tears his knee apart. Yeah.
Really?
There's a chance he'll never play again with an ACL like this at this point. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you work all
man.
Year, all year, every devote, every second, literally, of
exactly.
your day,
yeah.
and one play, done.
And there's not enough time for him to recover.
No.
You get
it's out for the year.
Wow.
And at his age now, who knows if you'll ever play. You know what I mean? Now it's damaged goods. And it's
That is tough. With that said, and I know we're getting Rob Davis to come on and talk to us, there's got to be life after football.
No question.
But you're taking a dream away.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough on that kid. And what is he, 22, 23, 24?
Well, he's like 26.
Okay.
So it's like,
you know, that's what happened to me. You know, I got hurt, and I said, beekeeping's where it's at for me.
Well, you know but, what? And the bee world is better for it.
It is.
The bee world is better. So in a unique way, God was looking out for
right.
the rest of us.
And it just kudos to Cribbits for having the program when you're done with football and they trained them in beekeeping.
We have a beekeeper.
Right.
Wayne, when one door closes, another door opens.
Right. God is with you through all of this.
Here's what we need you to put your hand amongst these thousand bees. See how many times you get stung.
Leave Krivitz, become the most famous beekeeper in Suamico, and come back to us and let us grow our community. Go. We deem you the beekeeper, Wayne.
And good luck. Depending on you.
Thank you. Thank you.
But the part they left out was, and make 1% of what you would have had you been in. But that's the way it is.
Anyway, we're glad you're here. Hey, just tell us quickly, because we got another guest coming on. The time of season, the solstice.
Yeah. Summer solstice, yeah. See, a lot of people were winding down their summer, but you're not aware what's happening. June 21st at 9:57 was the longest day of the year.
Right.
And now we've been away from that for 45 more minutes of darkness. So things in agriculture, such as, you know, I'm a beekeeper.
It's darker in the mornings right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the sun sets. Oh, and how about at night?
I know.
Because the city band concerts that Dan talked about, the last one, but we moved it from 7:30 to 7. It's dark at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
At 8 o'clock.
I know.
And that's the signal from in the agriculture, chickens, bees, they're like, winter's coming. They're preparing right now. This is when they prepare for winter, even though we still think it's summer.
What do your bees do during winter?
They cluster. So right now what they're doing is they're putting honey instead of above them. They're putting it down in their brood box. They're preparing to, they overwinter. Bees don't sleep. They stay alive. So they cluster around the queen to keep her alive. And on the coldest of cold nights, they'll pack really tight around her. And then what they do is they hum to create this heat. And then as the outside bees get cold, they actually pull them back into the center. And they just keep rotating.
Well, that's cool.
You can, when I stuck my hand in that cluster, it's so tight and hot. The amount of energy those bees create is unbelievable.
So if it's like 20 below outside, and they're just outside in their box or whatever,
They're in their box, and then the thermodynamics, they know what they have to do to regulate humidity, temperature, everything.
That's incredible.
Isn't that called a frame? That's why your company's a frame. Well, is that called a frame?
No, I live in a frame.
But No. I'm serious about this.
Well, you have brood boxes where they live. That's where the queen is and everything. But then you have frames that they live on.
Those things that you guys pull out, that's called a frame.
So in 1852, Dr. Langstroth created bee space, and he created the Langstroth hive, which allows us to manipulate frames.
That's where I wanted to get to.
Could be.
All right. We're going to send a quick break. We have Mike Clemens, the Packer beat reporter for Civic Media. He's going to be coming up a little bit. We'll hear a bunch more from some other Packer players. Got a lot to talk about still. It is a Monday morning, a gray and soggy Monday morning, but I'll take it. We're okay with that.
We're here. We're inside.
You didn't have to say that shit. We'll be back with more right after this.
In my hand, behind a gun, I make my final.
Welcome back. Mike the Mayor here on 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, Green Bay's Talk Radio. Also coming your way from WISS in Oshkosh. We got to go do some more things in Oshkosh.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I think we're going to do a show from there for a couple days. They've got a lot going on down there, and that is a great community that we want to connect to.
Absolutely. Love Oshkosh.
We had their city manager on. Remember when Mark was on?
Yeah.
And when we were down there for the EAA, and they got a lot going on, a lot of development. They've got great people, and yeah, we want to be connected with that community. We love Oshkosh, but we need to really get into it a little bit more. So,
and the thing is,
go ahead.
Well, we're talking about Oshkosh Plywood, Oshkosh from the wrestling. And as connection with that, just got a text from my buddy Jason, and he said that Hornswoggle, who we plan on having on the show here, is going to be doing a show, like a comedy / wrestling special at the Tarleton.
Right on
Which Dulcimer. Is a block away.
It is, right on Dulcimer Street. And that guy, he hails from Oshkosh, is that true?
Hornswoggle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so another great connection.
Yes.
We're going to get him. When's he doing his thing at the Tarleton? We got to give him a shout out. Do you know when that
is? Yes, it's coming. Yep, I'll find it.
I mean,
it's getting November, but still.
Okay, but we'll get him on before that.
Yes.
We do want to welcome Oshkosh listeners.
It's Evening with Hornswoggle, comedy and stories from under the ring. I think that's going to be fantastic. That's going to be a lot of fun. Friday, November 10th. What's that, Wayne? Hello. Go ahead.
Yeah, you need to beat Charlie Barron to the punch. Now, I listened to this morning. Civics got him on now, so we gotta stay ahead of Charlie and get that to the...
We can get Charlie on, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Can we get Charlie on? I've never met him.
He used to do Packer games. Come to Packer games and do promotional video. What's that called?
His little things, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
He'd walk around and I'd met him a couple times there. And,
yes.
He's actually a friend of a friend, so
a friend of mine, Jane, has a question for Wayne. I think this is for Wayne. I hope it's for Wayne. Are you still lifting?
No, I never got pulled over by your dad. but my dad did.
Her dad was
in my car.
Tough cop back in the day.
Oh yeah, he got him for
in Crivets?
Tinted windows.
Oh,
the air. Your
shocks. Dad had tinted windows
in my car. I had a 1982 Firebird. You know, and in Crivets, you know, either one or two things. If you don't have 20s on your car with air shocks, you were nothing. Or if your truck wasn't jacked up where you had to like jump up into the cab. Those were your two choices. And the cars, it didn't matter. They could be total rust buckets.
Okay.
But as long as they had 20s on with air shocks, it was cool.
Oh, did you have 20s? What did you have, Jim? You know what? He was a little hot rodder.
Yes.
I bet.
Weren't you?
Okay, Wayne, what else? Tell us about he probably
were you a hot rodder, yes or no?
He probably rolled,
yes or no?
He rolled into the low riding caddy.
Yes.
No.
Did you have one of those like chain steering wheels? Like sit
low rider.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Did you? Yes or no?
I did not have a chain steer, but I had a I don't know. What did you call me?
A low rider.
No, it wasn't a low rider. It was
greaser.
Could have been. That would have been
greaser.
A hot rodder. I probably would have been.
Yeah.
I would have been in that class. But hey, that was.
Did you wear a leather jacket?
Yes.
Monday, see? Tuesday, happy days. Wednesday, Thursday, happy days.
I can see it. But Wayne, Big Wayne, back to your bee thing. Okay. That was kind of fascinating. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
About how they keep themselves warm. I'm a firm believer. Animal instincts are in many, many cases better than many human being parents.
Well, for sure, because they're...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. They're living in nature. So, like, a good beekeeper, if you're paying attention, like, this year is different. This year, if you went as a beekeeper, if you went by dates from previous years, like, oh, you know, September 1st, I do this. August 3rd, I do this. It's not going to work because the weather is different. So, you have to really be in touch with the bees to get them ready for winter and to manage how much honey harvest you are. You have,
but you know what I'm saying, as far as their instincts for taking care of their little ones are better than
so much from them.
Yes,
absolutely. There's that's not everybody knows that. I mean, it's just things that they do that, but you know, we're capitalists. They're not like, well, some of them are. I shouldn't say that. I was gonna say they're not survival of the fittest, but they actually are. But that thing with bees, how they rotate the duty.
Yes. To keep
it's
queen
cold.
Warm. Yeah.
It's cold, but you're not going to be out there forever. It's not like, you know,
yes.
You're on the front line forever. We're going to rotate
you
in. Well,
that's amazing.
Well, what's happening right now.
That's literally amazing.
What's happening right now, the queens, the eggs that she's laying, they're going to be what's called their winter bees, and they're bees of different physiology. They actually have more fat bodies on them. So those bees will actually stay alive for 5-6 months to get the hive through till next year.
Is it just so they can kind of... How to put get it on with the queen? Is that why they're
no? They don't.
So
they don't.
Protective?
They
no,
don't mate
she
with
does
the. Her
oh, they don't. Okay.
Yeah, she goes out on a separate mating flight and tries not to interbreed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. She's got.
She's got it going
she's
on.
She's got it going on.
She's got it going on.
I don't know how she got that job, but
I know,
she,
right?
But here's the deal, though. Remember, if she's not like doing the job, they turn
right.
on her.
Yeah.
So she's got to keep trapped.
Well, she had, from when she hatches to being
cooker.
A virgin queen to go on her mating flight, she's got it made.
Yeah.
But when she comes back and she's mated and she starts laying, she's just a slave to the hive.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't want to be here. The worker bees in there just drive her. Her job is to lay eggs 24/7. And if she's not doing her job, guess what? You're out.
Right.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
But it's working. It's working. Hey, Wayne, one minute. Tell me about the butterflies. Do you follow that at all? My wife is
totally big into the monarchs.
I don't. What do you as far as
caterpillars to the cocoons? And she raises butterflies.
1 minute.
And I'm just wondering, the monarchs. There was this a lot of talk that they're declining. Are we?
I can't speak.
That's not
to.
Your thing.
But although when I walk around, I see them. So I think they're. I think you're doing all right.
Are you the one that said they used to put them in freezers so that you could display them?
No.
How did you used to kill them?
In a mayonnaise jar with sawdust and then plaster Paris with holes, and then we'd pour in formaldehyde. What's that?
Formaldehyde?
He killed monarchs? He was a monarch?
No, we didn't want
that. Maybe that's why they're almost extinct.
That's why he had to marry Donna.
Wow. That's a side view I've never seen before.
Yeah,
that's
this is creepy.
I know, right?
John would kill him with a fly swatter, you can't really display him in school.
Big Wayne, it's good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, Wayne.
Thanks for coming in. You're the man.
All right.
Mind on the Mayor, talking with Mike Clemens about that Packer game the other night from Civic Radio. Back right after this.
Second and goal. Love. Looking. Lofting. Dobbs. Caught. Touchdown, Green Bay.
Yeah, I think a game like this, everybody is able to get reps, get in there, and just get a feel for the game.
There's a lot of ball in front of us. We'll let these guys battle throughout the course of training camp. And quite frankly, you can never get rest easy in this business.
Yes, it's that time of year, ladies and gentlemen. Green Bay Packer football.
It is.
Let's be honest. It's what we're all about in Green Bay, Wisconsin. In Northeast Wisconsin. In all of Wisconsin. Yes, indeed.
It's a big part of what we're about.
And the UP.
All we're
about. Most of the UP.
Big part.
Western part of the UP. But anyway, we've got Mike Clemens joining us. Mike is a great guy. He covers the Packers beat for Civic Media. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Hey, that was a fun game the other night for an exhibition game.
Yeah, it was. I thought what LaFleur said yesterday kind of was what I thought. He goes, you know, I'm not sure we've seen that kind of energy from this team, like from all three phases.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Guys were flying around.
You know, I still think back, I think back to that last game of the last season, that Lions game, and I was at that game, and I was high up above watching where you could see all the benches really interaction and everything like that. Those young guys the other night had 10 times more energy than the Green Bay Packers team that was playing for a playoff spot last January.
They were flat.
Yes.
And there's this core, John, that about a year or two ago, I was walking back to practice and I had some players around me. And there was a guy who was a draft pick that was an offensive player with two or three other guys. And he was mumbling and grumbling about the lack of snaps that Jordan Love was getting, which meant, you know, it was also attention that this guy should be getting in practice.
Yeah.
And I've asked around on and off, you know, the record about guys about, you know, is there sort of a divide in this locker room? Is there sort of like the Rodgers and camp and all these guys? And, you know, the guys like the Mercedes Lewis group, right?
Right.
Or is this group that's been around here now two or three years that sort of came in with Jordan that they're just sort of waiting for their time? Well, whatever. Eight or nine of those guys are gone, most of them in New York with the Jets.
Yeah.
Right. And now this core that's been there for 2 years, maybe 3 years, they're flying around.
Yep.
They're flying around. Yeah, and they did it Friday night.
They did. And even when they had their little scrimmage, they were just so glad to be in Cincinnati. And you know, I don't know if it's Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, but I tell you, you can sense that just watching that. And like Johnny said, you know, it's the play was high energy, but just the interaction on the sidelines seemed like high energy. I just think this, everybody's talking about Love and his skills, but I think that guy's got some leadership qualities that are really going to be fun to watch this year.
He does. And you know, the thing I thought about was we talking to him on the field. That was great. We had some different access down in Cincinnati. This 2.5 hour practice, really hot and humid. You know, the river's right over your shoulder there, down by the Bengals stadium, and these two or three practice fields. And we're just standing on the field talking to these guys for like 20 minutes after practice, kind of like the old days.
Yeah,
nice. That's
and,
great.
Not so regimented.
Yeah, and so between that and then after the post game, and there's a large amount of people were there. A lot of Jordan Love was getting a lot of national attention. People want to know just as much as what's the next chapter in Green Bay as all the attention that's going on with the New York Jets right now. Jordan Love walked into that press conference, no problem. I mean, not rattled a bit. And so he's carrying himself that way. It's his team, but it's not, you know, he's not criticizing his other teammates. He's making corrections out there. He's trying to communicate with guys, but he's also, you know, learning himself through some of these mistakes. So, you know, he was 7 for 10, but I can't get over, you know, some of the misses, because the misses the other night were very similar to things that we saw even in yesterday's practice. It's like they will start off with Christian Watson deep on a goal route, and it's just off by a little bit. And then this Luke Musgrave, the 6'6" tight end, this kid can fly. He is so smart. And they get him open over the middle, and, you know, the ball's just a little bit over his hands. And now I've broken this thing down like that, you know, that play to Musgrave, because that should be money for them. And Musgrave is so fast once he catches the football.
Right.
But, you know, one of the things that I saw that broken down in the tape was that, you know what, there, and Sean Clifford said this to me in the locker room. I said, so how do you think Jordan did tonight? Oh, Jordan was fantastic. What? And he said, the reads that he's making, the way he's moving defenses with his eyes, the checks that he's getting into. So in terms of, it's, you know, the backup quarterback, he's not talking about, he's like, he's learning from what Love is doing on how to run the offense.
But what about Clifford? I mean, I told Johnny this morning, I got to be honest with you, I love the Packers, follow them. I'm more of a fan than really getting behind the scenes like you guys, but I thought that guy was terrific.
And you know what? He played fearless, too. He's like,
right.
You know,
that's what I like. Throws,
this game doesn't count. I'm going for it, you know? I'm going for it. And they gave him all those snaps, and he's a gamer, isn't he?
Yeah, right.
You know, he threw a pick six, and you know what some of the other players were talking about, and even the guys that cover the teams, like, you know what they were impressed with? Is he didn't go into a shell. He just came right back and started slinging some more and moved the football.
Right.
And you know what, Mike, what I thought was one of the most courageous throws, because I've seen enough young quarterbacks do something like that, and then all of a sudden that's all they throw is checkdowns.
Checkdowns.
And he came right back over the middle, and I know it was picked off, but I think the tight end, and actually I think if they had reviewed it, it would have gone Packers' favor. I think the guy was down, but whatever. But all I'm saying is that's the fact is he had courage to throw it in traffic after the pick. That, I thought, said as much about his makeup as anything.
Go ahead, Mike.
And Clifford's arm is not that strong. Jordan Love's arm is strong. He's just got to work on this accuracy and this timing on things like that deep route to Christian Watson he missed in the first series. And that's a ball where maybe now they need to figure out that Watson, you know, you throw that ball to the sideline, because if he's running down that red line on the outside, and they've got the safety coming over that tips it away, these are the little things they've got to work out where, you know, back in the day it would have been to Jordy Nelson, it would have been that back shoulder throw, which keeps it away from the safety. All these little technical things that you have to look for. Sean Clifford, I don't know if he can throw it as far, but then he comes back with one ball over the middle he had the other night. There was an absolute rocket about 35 yards downfield, and it's like, if you need it for a couple of weeks, this guy could actually win some games for you.
Right. That's the feeling I got. Sometimes it's been such a, not a star league, but a quarterback league, and I didn't know we had that kind of bench. I told Johnny that when I got in this morning. I'm like, that guy was impressive to me, and you're right. I mean, but he takes some chances. He came back after a mistake, and, you know, that's, I can't really teach that stuff. I was very impressed with him, very.
You know, I'll tell you what, he reminds me of Matt Flynn.
Hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Who was a pretty good backup, right?
He's
a
phenomenal backup.
Right.
He's the last good backup we had. Huntley was terrible.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, wasn't it? Remember how bad Huntley was?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing was this, was there was one game when Rodgers was down with a collarbone. There was a nice win over a pretty good Chicago Bears team. And the two key plays were on a receiver who was not getting a lot of targets that probably should have been getting more, and that was to him to Davante Adams.
Oh.
Because, you know, Aaron was still focused on Jordy
right.
coming back after the ACL and all that. And I got the feeling that McCarthy was basically saying to Hundley, like, hey, start throwing the 17 more.
Yeah.
And then you talked to Davante, and he said, yeah, me and Brett have been working out on Saturdays.
Wow.
And so it was that way that Davante, you know, said, and even before the injury, but it was that way that Davante sort of proved everybody, and they had to sort of prove to Aaron, like, this is 17 is the future. It's time to move on from 87. Start targeting 17 more. And that's when those things changed.
So watching the game, it just looked like a great game. And as you know, they scored more points than anyone in the NFL. And I know it's preseason, and Cincinnati didn't have all their starters in. But what about special teams? That's always been something people complained about. We've had Chris Jackie on here. John and I are both really good friends with the Crosbys. You know, we're really sorry to see them go, but do you feel good about special teams? Because, I mean, they're the ones who scored the points.
But those two botched extra points were just, oh, no. Oh,
I know.
I texted Chris Jackie right after that happened, and I said, OM blah, blah, blah. And he said, one more week. Basically,
you know,
the guys
really?
Got one more week, and they'll, yeah.
Yeah, so
they've got this one punter, the Dan Whelan, that kicks the ball 60 yards with a perfect spiral. But it seems like when 41 is holding, that's when the ball seems to veer to the right on an Anders Carlson kick. But the one that he missed on the PAT, you know, he had Pat O'Donnell holding for him. So, yeah, I don't, you know, Rich Bisacci is going to talk to us on Friday.
Okay.
And, you know, he'll tell us.
He's
straight.
A special team.
He's big time.
The thing
right?
about Carlson is I found interesting, and a guy who's a sideline photographer pointed this out to me, is if you notice that Anders Carlson, 6'5", you remember how Mason Crosby step plant kick and the leg comes from way back and swings all the way through, and the foot goes high into the air, and Carlson, it's just everything looks like a chip shot. I mean, even when he's 45 yards out, his leg just goes up a little bit, so he's got a lot of power to that leg. It's just the consistency and the accuracy and,
yeah.
I guess, connecting with his holder that's going to have to make a difference here, you know, pretty quick.
Oh, and that can be so critical. I mean, you look at the scores
absolutely.
Of these games. These guys, I don't get the credit they deserve. They can all these games are 2, 3, 4 points.
But even back to Mike's point there, there's another aspect. That holder is so important. I remember a few years, like, why are you screwing around with the punters? This guy's fine. He'll do 42-yard average, whatever. Let him punt, but he's a phenomenal holder. And that's when I thought Mason got messed up a few years ago, Mike. Remember that game he had against the Lions, which was, I think he missed 5 or something like that? And they messed around with the holders?
Half, yeah.
Yeah, if you got a great holder with your guy, keep him. That is such a valuable part of the football team.
It
Would
is.
You agree?
Yeah, and well, and long snapper as well, too.
Right.
They've got a battle of long snapper going on in camp as well. So, also regarding special teams, too, I was interested that Tyler Goodson, number 39, this running back who's flashed last week in camp, had that many kick returns to start. Now, that's going to be Keyshawn Nixon's job, and we assume that the rookie, Jaden Reed, the slot receiver, is going to be your punt returner. But they were, you know, they've got that competition going on at who's going to be the third running back. Because, you know, you even had that to Emmanuel Wilson, you know, the kid that had the 89-yarder, right?
You wanted to say Emmanuel Lewis, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Who was on different strokes.
That was. But they've got that competition going on at running back. And so, to me, it looked like they were trying to find ways to get Goodson on the field, whether it's going to be as a returner that he can relieve guys that way or whatever the case. But yesterday, some at practice, his arm's in a sling, so I'm not sure what happened on that play. But he had that many returns. Another thing I thought was interesting in the game, you know, on the offensive line, we've been talking about how good Zach Tom is and versatile. And as a rookie, I remember tweeting out the first week of practice last year in training camp, I said, it's only the second day of camp, but man, the footwork on this Zach Tom guy is outstanding. It reminded me, like, one of the first few days I saw David Bakhtiari in camp. So the other night they had Zach Tom starting at right tackle. Bakhtiari did not play. And so they're working on this thing of whether or not they're going to have Yosh Nijman, who really is better at left tackle than he is at right tackle. Do you put Zach Tom in there? They put Zach Tom at center because they're really challenging Josh Myers. You know who else they ran at center for several series was John Runyon.
Oh, wow.
So the starting right guard
right.
is getting a lot of snaps at center, and I'm thinking, is that a way that they're trying to figure out how to get Zach Tom into that offensive line, maybe play guard? So that's something you're going to watch.
You know, Josh Myers is a good friend of ours. We only got 30 seconds here. Can you stick around for another about 8-minute segment, Mike?
Sure, sure.
Awesome, great.
Want to ask you who's on the bubble? Because Johnny and I are going to the game. We don't know what to watch for on Friday. But hey, we'll come back just a minute here. WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM.
Back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the mayor here on a Monday morning. We're talking with Mike Clements, Packers beat reporter for Civic Media. Mike, we're talking a little bit about the kickers, and we're talking about Carlson, the Packers kicker Carlson's brother, who a few years back, I remember he had just a devastatingly bad game against the Packers, missed a chip shot field goal at Lambeau Field, enabling the Packers to win the game. A couple of days later, he was cut, and last year he was like the top kicker in the NFL. So, I mean, it's such a mind game with these guys, isn't it?
Rich Bisaccia, when he's working for the Raiders, he was familiar with Daniel Carlson. And, yeah, you're right. Carlson missed that one kick and then sent it into overtime. The Packers were able to hang on. That was also the one where Clay Matthews, he had a sack on Kirk Cousins, and they called it roughing the passer. It was a ridiculous call.
Yeah.
That's what's also sent the game into overtime. But Anders Carlson's, I mean, Rich Bisaccia's hands are all over that draft pick because he'd followed Daniel Carlson, worked with him with the Raiders, had gone to visit him when he was a prospect, and saw his 14-year-old younger brother there, Anders. Like, wow, they've got another kicker in this house, just as big as he was and as what he thought was talented. So he's been following Anders Carlson along for years, and now they get the chance to say, you know, do we bring back Mason one more year, or do we move on? And so they drafted him. So, you know, this is his guy, and it will be interesting. So, you know, Jim, you just mentioned before the break, you know, bubble guys, that might be one of the top ones. Because, you know, the thing, when we talk about this time of year and guys that are on the bubble, the one thing that's probably of most interest to listeners is the fact that, wow, that's a guy that's been around the team for a while, and really they're going to move on from him? Well, you know, who's he going to replace? But they've done so much paring back of the roster this spring. I thought one move that was one of those bubble kinds of moves was Jonathan Garvin. I mean, they cut him a couple of weeks ago. But here was a guy who was a draft pick, been with the team 3 years. There's times where Joe Barry put him out there, you know, with the first team in games because they thought that he would be the next thing that could, with his experience at outside linebacker after Za'Darius Smith moved down.
Is he the one that didn't come to any of the summer workouts, though?
Missed OTAs the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And then, like, day two or day three of camp, he's on the sidelines again with some sort of a And it was like the day after that, they just said, you know, we'll move on. And, you know, he was also a kid that was just kind of hard to know.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have, you know, much to say, all that. So here's another one I think is could be on the bubble. A former draft pick is Royce Newman.
Okay.
And they can't seem to, and he's a big kid and got a lot of, but they can't seem to find a spot where he has an identity. And they've got some other younger guys that are coming up. Sean Ryan, who missed all that time last year with suspension, he's looked good on the one. He's like 8-0 on the one-on-ones.
Well,
so, hey, back to the kickers, just one last thing here. And during the break, Jim and I were talking about this. And like I said, Chris Jackie, when he texted me back, he said, well, he's got one more week. You know, you've got that luxury in the preseason to do that, to help him work it out. You don't in the regular season. And, I mean, there's a chance that a Mason Crosby could be grabbed by somebody fairly soon if somebody else's kicker isn't working out. Do you think there's any chance the Packers would say to themselves, you know what, Anders, you just pulled your groin muscle? It's like, what? No, really, you just pulled your groin in that kick, right? Yes, yes, I did. And, I mean, do you think there's any chance that sometimes they do that just to give a guy, let a guy's head kind of come back to normal?
I don't know. I think they do it down at the Brewers an awful lot.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's funny when somebody's in a slump, all of a sudden they pulled something. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a back. Hi, what?
No,
you've got a
yes,
back.
Yes, you do.
I don't – you're right. They got another game. Time is starting to run out. The other thing is that, you know, Labor Day weekend when there's cuts, there's all kinds of guys to pick up too. One of the best ones that Ted ever did was that he picked up from a team that was really deep at running back, and he made a little trade. I can't even remember what low pick he got, but he was kind of hurting at running back, and he got a guy named Ryan Grant.
Oh, I remember that.
Off the street from the
New York Giants.
And that was just a brilliant move. So there's always those guys. And look at the guys that Gutekunst has brought in that he's now signed a big deal, like, you know, between Rasul Douglas and Keyshawn Nixon and some of these other guys that, you know, that they've, you know, there's always these guys that maybe one team is pretty deep at, that when they have to make their cuts, they're tough cuts, and you've got guys who could be possible starters for you. That Hollins, that linebacker they've got right now too, that guy's been playing really well for them.
Mike, I got to ask you, I've never met you, but I don't know if you have kids, but they used to have the rookies, and we would have this like little meet and greet.
Yeah.
I'd go to that.
I hosted that a couple of years.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And it, you know, kind of meet with the mayor and talk. And don't you like feel like a dad? Like you look the look in their eyes. It's like, man, dude, I hope you make the team, but they just they so want to.
Once they have their helmets off,
I didn't realize. I don't know how old I was or how young they were, but I you know, this is, if you don't make the team. Like second place, it's not like you go, he might go to coaching high school or teaching or something. You know what I'm saying, Johnny? It's
not
like $600,000, maybe you're going to make $60,000. But anyway, do you feel that, or are you just all business when you're with these guys?
No, because that's who you find out who's going to make the cut. That's who you find out, and I'm trying to be as objective as I can. Yeah. This organization, sometimes they hire better personalities than they play crazy physical football players. But because at the end of the day, they know that the crazy guys are annoying and drive and disrupt your locker room.
So important that the Packers focus on culture. I don't think you can say that about every team. And I've always thought that, I always felt that in the discussion sometimes with some of the GMs, how they're passing on so-and-so, and it's like, wow, that seems like a really good player. And they're like, be tough in the locker room.
Sometimes I don't want to, like, especially with the draft picks or some of the undrafted guys, I don't care about their college. I don't care about their scouting reports, what the experts are saying. Show me here in this OTA, show me in this rookie mini camp, show me, and then I start digging up on guys that I think are interesting. So this 118 kid kept on flashing to me. I just, wow, look at this guy glide as a wide receiver. And so then I start digging around and start looking at Malik Keith. And then I, you know, start asking around about him, and it's like, yeah, he's raising eyebrows. Look the way he catches. Look how he fights. And then look at the game he had the other night where he's blocking that guy in the sidelines. Well, then you start finding out, like, okay, he was a, you know, big high school star, and he went for a junior college, and he went to Mississippi State. But then he started screwing up. He had a DUI, got pulled over for one other incident, and then he transferred over to Mississippi. But that happened about 3 years ago. And now he's in there fighting. And so obviously he has convinced the scouts here, you know, to give him a chance. And he has played his tail off in practice. And
Mike, we are out
the other night.
Mike, we are out of time. This has been fantastic. You're going to be a regular, okay, buddy?
Yep, we'll see you Friday.
Appreciate it, boys. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye. Mind of the Bear.